Earlier this month, there was a pretty alarming report that was put out there by CT Insider, and it looked at more and more special education students in Connecticut being sent out of the district because they needed to have a different learning environment in order to thrive. And when I was reading this, it was actually a federal complaint related to a chain of private special education schools bringing attention specifically to Connecticut compared to any other state in the country. And so this is obviously very alarming. It's something that that is very near and dear to my heart because, as you know, my younger brother is autistic. And so whenever I hear about things going on with special ed students, especially after the pandemic as well, where we're seeing more and more paraprofessionals are getting cut, even though we really need them right now, this is a concern, certainly. And that's how a lot of education leaders in our state feel as well. Fran Rabinowitz, who is a fan favorite on The Morning Show, she is the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents, but she also happens to be the co-chair of the statewide task force on special education. She is here to talk about this report. And also, it sounds like, Fran, you just got back from Washington, D.C. talking about this. So thank you for the quick turnaround and coming on WACC. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Melissa. You know, I would never miss an opportunity because I think you cover the right things and ask the right questions. So I'm happy to be here. So, and yes, I did just come back from Washington.
I was going to start with saying I really appreciate the quick turnaround, Fran. I'm sure you're exhausted and this is a lot to kind of dive into, but we're going to do the best we can, and we appreciate your willingness to come on. How much truth is there to that article highlighting the fact that not only is it true that kids are being shuffled around who are special ed, but that Connecticut seems to have a bigger problem than any other state in the country? How much truth is there to that?
Well, there is truth to it. The fact of the matter is we lead the country in out-of-district placements. Now, that includes the RESCs, you know, our six regional education service centers. However, even with those included, it still means that the child or we are sending large numbers of children out of the school district to facilities, which I'm sure many and most are doing a good job, but the fact of the matter is the child cannot be integrated. In other words, they're not entering into regular classrooms at all. So that's a concern. The other concern for me is, as co-chair, I've certainly been studying the data. And, you know, in 11-12, we had about 11% special ed, 11.5. We're now at 17.5%. 92,000 children out of 510,000 are special ed kids. And, you know, let me just put it up front that I want the best and the most effective program for every child, but I wonder why there is such an increase in the number of special ed students, and I wonder if we need to look more closely at the interventions that are present in school districts prior to identifying special ed.
Hi, Fran. Melissa Shekachoff here. I couldn't agree with that more. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I see it firsthand in my own child. Not so much that he is, obviously I'm very, I would say, sensitive to the idea of special needs because of my younger brother who's autistic. But I definitely know that there's something with my son, either, you know, with a learning disability or something with, you know, his energy, ADHD, something along those lines. And what's interesting is even if the proof is in the pudding and you're hearing it from the teacher, like, hey, you know, he can't focus with a group of kids, he has to just work with me, or hey, we're seeing the very classic signs of there's something that's not connecting. But when I say, let's get him tested, let's get him tested. Let's find out what's going on so we can get him intervention now at the kindergarten age, now going into first grade. They will not test him, Fran. They won't do it. And what I think is interesting is unless you, the parent, dishes out $3,000, $4,000 to get your kid tested and then say to the school, hey, I have proof right here, even though you had it all, you just didn't have a name to put to it. I've got the proof right here that my kid needs intervention. They're going to wait. Most schools are going to wait till they get to third, fourth grade. And now there's such a divide that your kid is so behind that now you have to address it. But again, like, why we wait that long? Obviously, it comes down to the money and the bodies to be able to do it. But I agree with you. I think it has to come down to a lack of intervention early on. It has to. I don't know.
I 100% agree. And I would say to you, I know what it's like not to have those interventions. When I was in Bridgeport, I was hard-pressed as the superintendent to find a reading teacher when I first came into that school district. There were no reading teachers. And the fact of the matter is, many of our kids are identified because of problems in reading. Well, if they haven't had intervention or, you know, high-dose tutoring, that should be done prior to. And, you know, I think I would fight mightily for that. The other thing that I am trying to do as part of the special ed task force, and we are in consensus on this, is, you know, let's do some incentives to begin programs in the school district. Rather than outplacing these children, let's see if we can find ways to effectively work with them in district. It's not going to be for every child, but maybe we can find a way. Because the fact of the matter is, I do believe it's better if we can integrate those children with other, you know, typical or whatever you want to say children. Mm-hmm. Because quite frankly, I mean, I'm really transparent. I worry about our standards for special needs kids. I understand that they're not going to, every one of them is not going to achieve at high levels. But I'm watching that achievement gap grow, and more kids being put into special ed and the achievement gap getting bigger. So I just feel that, yes, when I was in Washington, I met with our Connecticut delegation. I met with each one individually, and I spoke a lot about the special ed and the need for intervention and, quite frankly, the need for federal funding. They promised back in the late 70s when IDEA came in that they would fund it, you know, at 40%. We're, I think, somewhere around 14%.
Which is a significant difference. That is a huge difference than what was promised. Yeah. And so Fran Rabinowitz is here, and she is the co-chair of the statewide task force on special education in Connecticut. She's also the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. Fran, when you were in Washington, D.C., and you're sitting with the Connecticut delegation, and you're mapping out the issues we're seeing with special ed students and the incredibly increasingly bigger and bigger gap we're seeing between these students and their peers who do not need early intervention, do not need the extra help to give them the best future possible. What did our delegation say to you?
Well, I must say, each and every one of them, and I met with each one individually, and each one was very tuned into this. You know, they all had a little bit of a different take on it, but they did agree that they will continue to fight, and they have fought, and they will continue to fight for the funding for special ed, especially the excess cost funding. But they also had some things about what contributes to it. For example, Senator Murphy spoke for a long time about chronic absenteeism. And, you know, honestly, he's right. And this is what I mean about the early interventions coming in sooner than later, so that we can work with these children before, as you said, Melissa, there is that broad, broad gap where we can't catch them up.
But but I think you also highlighted, Fran, the fact is I think it comes down to the God Almighty buck is a huge reason. And obviously we do have obviously a teacher shortage, no question, which, you know, we don't have the bodies, for example, to have paraprofessionals in classrooms and helping teachers out. We don't, you know, I do get that we're dealing with things that are beyond our means a little bit. But as far as the money is concerned, like we have people who can't even afford to, you know, find housing or find food. Like I hate this morning that in my newscast, more and more Connecticut municipalities witnessing troubling increases in school-aged children experiencing homelessness. This one highlights New Haven Public Schools reporting near 40% rise in homeless students this year, with 1,100 students in the district claiming they are displaced. So that's just New Haven, and we're just talking about housing. So we can't even afford to figure out where kids are going to live, where they're going to get their next meal, let alone telling parents, hey, you know what? You want to give your kid the best opportunity possible? You're going to have to go out and get them tested, and you're going to have to go out and get them their OTs and PTs and whatever other interventions you need to get them ahead. That's just not plausible. And that, I think, is another big reason, right, why there's such a huge gap.
Yeah, and it's not acceptable, Melissa. And by the way, there are parents who can go out and get that done. And then you have, in the challenge districts, the parents that can't do that.
Right.
So what happens to those kids?
They fall behind, or they stop going to school.
Yes. And the state this year shorted the district $79 million in special ed costs. It's a long story, but they put in the incorrect number last year, and they continued with that number this year. And so we were $79 million short in special ed. And for me, the travesty is we have more dollars in Connecticut than we have ever had. And how could we be shorted $79 million for our most vulnerable children?
Mm-hmm.
It's just unacceptable. And yes, we are studying, the task force is definitely studying and wants teacher input on, so why are teachers not going into special ed? Why are we having such a shortage in that area? I mean, I have some thoughts, but I think that I want to hear it directly from the teachers, which we will be hearing over the next month.
Okay.
You know?
No, I mean, I for so many reasons, Fran, I love having you on the show and getting these kind of transparent conversations because it's important, and I certainly do want to know what's going on, you know, specifically with special ed and what the task force hears from the teachers. But, you know, like going back to, as you mentioned, that the gap is getting wider and wider. When you hear these types of national stories, for example, like ADHD, diagnoses for ADHD, just that, is up higher than it's been in so many years. And of course, yeah, the pandemic could have something to do with it. Bringing more attention to it could have something to do with it. But I do think, going back to what you're saying, is if we're not going to give these kids the best opportunity possible to thrive and to overcome these things and to have what they need in order to really deal with it and to catch up to their classmates by the time they're in the middle of their elementary years, we're only going to see more and more kids fall behind and for problems to get bigger and bigger than they really have to be. So if we don't start investing in it, we're going to find more and more of the population really struggling.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. And one of the first things is, you know, reading. Kids should be reading. I mean, I always say third grade. My thing is they should beginning to read by the end of grade one.
Right.
They should be beginning to read. And let me tell you, if they're not, we should be putting every resource possible. It's our greatest equity strategy. These kids need to learn to read.
Yeah.
And I think many of them are struggling because they cannot read.
Yeah.
That's my own thinking. And hopefully that's one of the interventions.
Yeah, there's certainly, like you said, there's no one right answer, but I think definitely having people who recognize that this is not a problem going away, it is a problem that is exponentially getting worse and worse. I think just being able to recognize it and then trying to find solutions to tackle the problem is certainly a start. And Fran, I appreciate that you are a soldier of this. You are a warrior. We appreciate the work that you're doing in Connecticut, what you're advocating even at the federal level, trying to get more dollars. Thank you so much for what you do, and thanks for sharing that here on WACC. Please keep me posted.
And thank you for inviting me, Melissa. Honestly, I greatly appreciate it. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I love discussing it. So yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's what this show is for. And Fran, I always appreciate that you are always willing to come on the show and have these conversations. It means an awful lot to me, but certainly to our listeners. They love hearing from you. So thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Talk to you soon. Fran Rabinowitz, co-chair of the statewide task force on special education, but also the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents here on WICC.